No way to win. And in lesson one last week, we learned that there are two systems of managing and two systems of investing material resources. There's the world system. The Bible says in Psalm 73:12, it says, "Behold, these are the ungodly that prosper in the world." And then there's God's system. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow." When we talk about a system is an organized or established procedure, method, or way of doing things. A system is predictable. In other words, certain actions will produce certain results. We said that in the world there are certain laws, and we talked about them. We're not going to talk about them tonight, but there are certain laws that govern the way people prosper in the world. We talked about the survival of the fittest is a law of the world. The end justifies the mean. Doesn't matter what happened in the middle, as long as you get money on the backside. We also talked about sacrifice and workaholism. Workaholism is a perversion. I'll talk a little bit more about it, but it's a product of the world's system. God gave us work. Work is a blessing. But workaholism is an extreme, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. There are also laws that are in the kingdom of God. The law of renewal. The Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The law of words is a law of the kingdom. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. The law of love, faith works by love. The law of growth, my wife talked about it. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corner in the ear. The law of diligence. The Bible says the diligence of a man's hand will cause him to prosper. So there's the law of integrity. The Bible talks about an honest heart. Then there's the law of order, and we're going to talk about that tonight, the law of the seed. So what I'm trying to share with you is that everyone operates in a system, okay? Whether you be a Christian or a non-Christian, you're operating in a system. You're managing your money based off either the world system or God's system. You're investing your money based on God's system or the world system. So we're saying that the world system will not work for a Christian, because it was not designed for a Christian. So last week, we said that the world system is a no-win situation because Satan is the head of it, okay? He's the Lord over the system. So he's not going to allow Christians to prosper. You know, we get a degree or whatever, and we prosper to a certain level, but he's not going to allow Christians to prosper at the level God wants them to prosper. It is his assignment to make sure that resources get in the hands of the ungodly, because they will support his system. God wants to get resources in the hands of his people because he believes that his people will resource his kingdom. That's the nutshell of what we talked about last week. Now, the world system is a no-win system for a Christian. Secondly, because it is built on deception and compromise. So the rest of the way through this lesson, we're going to be talking about deception, and we're going to be talking about compromise. Deception and compromise. Let's begin talking about deception. What is deception? I got a definition of deception up there, and I want you to notice. It says, deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences by emphasizing today's delight in your mind. Deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences, watch this, by emphasizing today's delight in your mind. Satan gets you caught up in the delight of today. He hides the consequences of tomorrow. Now let's look at this text here in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. Now, watch what it says, and I'm going to give you an analogy. It says, stolen waters are what? Sweet. Now, watch this. Bread eaten in what? Secret is what? Pleasant. Now, watch this. Stolen waters are what?
Sweet.
Now, notice stolen waters. Stolen waters are what?
Sweet.
Bread eaten in secret is what?
Pleasant.
Now, look at the next verse. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now notice, sweet and pleasant up front, but on the backside, death and hell. Now, what the writer of Proverbs is using there is he's talking about sexual immorality. Now let's talk about sexual immorality in the context of deception, in the context of the definition of deception. Satan has successfully removed the consequences of tomorrow by causing us to emphasizing the delights of today. Now, this is my 39th year pastoring. So I've counseled all kinds of situations, I've counseled Christian husbands who've been in adultery and affairs. I've counseled Christian wives who have been in affairs. I've counseled singles who've been in illicit relationships. Okay, so this is how it works. This is how sexual immorality works, okay? You got a Christian husband, Christian wife, somehow in that relationship, something is off, okay? Most of the time, something is off. Somehow they get connected to somebody. It can be a single person. It can be another married person. And they start getting needs met outside of their home, outside of the home. So now there is some delight in that. There's some pleasantness in that. And that's the deception of it. Because in some cases, and I've heard people say, this man is meeting my needs. My own husband don't touch me. I'm being real with you now, okay? And so she's getting some out here that she shouldn't be getting at home. Or he's getting some out here that he should be getting home, and they're not getting it, okay? So they're getting it outside. So it's very pleasant. There's a lot of exhilaration. That's a deception. Because Satan now has successfully remove the consequences of tomorrow by emphasizing today's delight. Divorce down the road, trauma down the road, trouble to the children down the road, but they're not thinking about that because they're caught up in today's delight. Does that make sense to you? Okay, now, that's a deception in the sexual arena. Let's transfer that to deception in the economic arena. Got it? Now look at what it says in Mark chapter 4. Let's talk about economic deception. Mark chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. It says, the sower soweth the word. Next verse. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their what? Heart. Now watch this. Satan is after the word. Come on, say that. Satan is after the word. So his job is to take the word from you. Now listen carefully. Life is in the word. Everything that you need, God has designed for it to be in the word. Whether spiritual, mental, emotional, we're talking about finances. So everything, every need that you will ever have is in the word. It's in the word. Come on, say it's in the word. House in the word, car in the word, job in the word, bills paid in the word. God is concerned about every area of your life. So it is in the word. Come on, say in the word. So Satan comes to take what? The word. Let's drop down to verse 18 and 19. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, watch this, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it become what? Unfruitful. Now notice three things, but we're not going to talk about two of them. The cares of this world, the lust of other things, but right in the middle, notice the deceitfulness of what?
Riches.
The deceitfulness of what?
Riches.
The deceitfulness of what?
Riches.
Notice it doesn't say riches. It says the what? deceitfulness of riches. Now, let's look at this. Now, listen at this. The word deceitfulness means a delusion. It means a what?
Illusion.
It means a false appearance, a delusion, a false appearance. Now, watch this. So, the deceitfulness of riches, and it's going to be up on your monitor. Everything I'm saying is going to be on the monitor. The deceitfulness of riches is a distraction. The word distraction means to draw away or pull in another direction. The deceitfulness of riches is economic pursuits that pull you away from relationship priorities or rob you of time in God's word. Now follow me, and I'm going to give you a chance to ask questions. Now watch this. The deceitfulness of riches violates the law of priority and order, and the deceitfulness of riches violate the law of the seed. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. The deceitfulness of riches violates the law of priority and order. Let's talk about this. This is a law in the kingdom. The law of priority is a law in the kingdom. Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the what? So there are other things you should seek, but you should seek the kingdom first, which implies a second, a third, and a fourth. That's the law of priority. The Bible also communicates that there is a law of order. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. It says, let everything be done decently and in order. So now, our lives should have priority to it. Okay, I'm going to give you a list. You may not agree with the order in the list, but I'm going to give you a list because there should be some order in your life. As a believer, God should be first in your life. God should be first, and your relationship with Him should be first. If you are married, your relationship with your spouse should be second. If you're married, your relationship with your spouse should be second. If you have children, your relationship with your children should be third. So we got God, we got spouse, we got children. Now you may disagree with me here, but it's all right. I think the fourth priority before work and extended family members, I think it should be the church. Now the reason I put the church there is wherever you go to church on a consistent basis, that pastor or whoever is impacting your decision making. Joining the church and where you go to church is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make, behind who you marry and behind Jesus and behind God, okay? Because if you're constantly listening to somebody over a period of time, they are impacting your belief system. So I believe it should be God, I believe it should be your spouse, I believe it should be your children, I believe it should be your church. Then you can put all the other things, work, extended, all the other things, okay? Now, God is a God of order. Got it? So when we put anything out of order, God cannot bless it. Even if we saved, even if we born again, if we put children above our spouse, it's not going to work. If we put family above God, it's not going to work, because God blesses order. In fact, my wife talked about 40 years. We had some challenges, well, no crazy stuff like immorality, infidelity, okay, and no fighting and all that kind of stuff, but just learning how to relate to each other. You know what I mean? Just learning how to relate to each other. And we were struggling. And it's just absolutely amazing that the more we got order in our relationship, it seemed that God began to bless us more financially, materially, because God is a God of what? Order. So if you put work somewhere up here, then it breaks the whole system down. Am I making sense to anybody? So now listen carefully. The deceitfulness of the riches, it violates the law of the seed. Mark 4:26 says, so is the kingdom of God, is if a man should cast seed into the ground. You can't have a harvest without seed. And that's not just money seed, time, money, energy. To anything, you cannot have a harvest if you're not planting a seed. If everything is in the Word and you're not taking time to build the Word on the inside of you because you're trying to make money, because you're working all the time, then you're going to make more money out here, but you're not going to have the seed on the inside of your heart. So Satan has deceived you with the riches. It's a delusion. It's a false appearance. Am I making sense to anybody? Am I making sense to you? Shake your head now if I'm making sense to you. Now watch this. Watch this. It can happen in the area of a job, a promotion, educational goals. I've seen people say that I'm going to get my degree, I'm going to get my master's, and they just backslide. They don't go to church. They don't spend time in the Word. I've seen young people go off to college, walk in with God, get off to college, get out of the Word, and just totally backslide. Okay? And really, we go to college because we want to do well and we want to make some money. That's what it all boils down to. We want to make some money. Okay? So here again, we're being deceived. It's a delusion, a false appearance. Or it can be a business venture or any situation where you're trying to get more money. Now listen to me carefully. 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 Think about how much you earn on your job now. How many of you work? You work. Okay. Think about how much you make on your job right now. Or your business right now. What if you had an opportunity that would double that? Double that. I mean, tomorrow it doubles it. Double it. Your revenue in your business is double. Is that a blessing? Is that a blessing from God? The average Christian would say, yeah, you're a blessing. We don't need to pray about that right now. We know the Lord opened up that door. Okay, we know the Lord opened up that door. Because the Bible said we're supposed to prosper. Bible said we're supposed to prosper. So God opened, that got to be the Lord. Okay, let's talk about that. It may not be the Lord. It may be the deceitfulness of riches. It may be a delusion. It may be a false appearance. So we have to ask ourselves some questions, because as I teach this word, guess what? God going to confirm this in your life. Yeah. Opportunities is going to come your way, but you're going to have to be very discerning in your opportunities. So you're going to have to ask the question. You're going to have to ask these questions. Number one, what is the downside of this opportunity? Because there are always pros and cons to every opportunity. What is the downside to this opportunity? Second, you're going to have to ask, is there any sorrow with it? Is there any sorrow with it? Is there any sorrow with this opportunity? The blessing of the Lord makes rich. He had no sorrow. I've seen people take promotions and they just emotionally messed up. There was sorrow with it. Second, will this opportunity pull you away from your purpose? Will this opportunity pull you away from your family? Come on now, come on. It's double your salary, but now you can't spend any time with your wife or your husband. That doesn't make sense. We've been married 40 years. And this is what I know about any relationship. It involves time, money, and energy. Time, money, and energy. You cannot have a healthy relationship if you're not investing time, money, and energy. And we always spend time. We always spend time. So if you're getting an opportunity and now you can't even spend time with your wife, your spouse, you got an economic opportunity, but now you can't spend time with your kids, that is not a blessing. Kids don't just need things because we say, well, you're working, I'm working for my child. And your children grow up and hate your guts. Both of my kids are in ministry because we were going to spend time. Now, they knew I had to do Bible study, I had to do church, but we were going to go to their games, we were going to go to their concerts, we were going to go to all these things, and now we're all together. Kids don't just need things, they need you. They need you. They need you. And so if it's an economic opportunity, it's giving you more money, but it is robbing you in the area of your priorities, your relationships. That is not a blessing from God. That is the deceitfulness of riches. Is it taking you away from church? I've seen people take a job and they ain't got no church. I be thinking, why in the world would you take a job and now you can't go to church at all, ever? Ever. Now you got money, but the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. There's something that we get when we come together that we can't get online. I believe in online, but there's there's a connection that we're supposed to have by coming together, and people take jobs and promotions and stuff, and they don't have a church. There's no church anywhere. It is the deceitfulness of riches. It is the world system. Am I making sense? Come on, wave at me if I'm making some sense here. Okay, is it taking it away from the word? You can't spend time in the word. I've seen people, they work in 3 and 4 jobs. They hear prosperity, they go out and work 3 and 4 jobs. And then when they get time, get home, and they get home, you know, they done work 3 or 4 jobs, and they drag into the house, and then they're going to get in the word. I'm going to study the word. Why? What happened? They were deceived. That's why workaholism is a perversion. God gave us work. He didn't give us workaholism.
That's right.
I'm going to keep on saying that because we got a lot of workaholics in the church.
That's right.
I'm going to keep on saying that because we got a lot of workaholics in the church. Now, let's move to compromise. See, the world system is built off deception. And it's built off compromise. I'm going to have to rush through this because I've spent a lot of time. I ain't got much time on this. Let me see how much time I got. Okay, so I'm going to have to rush. But y'all going to be able to get it, okay? She's going to tell you how y'all going to be able to get it. Okay, let's talk about compromise. I'm going to move kind of fast. Compromise means to accept standards lower than one should. Compromise means to weaken or reduce the level of one's commitment, character, or integrity or relationships. And I use the text, and I guess we won't turn to it because I want to navigate through it. You can put it up there, Luke chapter 4. In the wilderness temptation, Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the scripture says that the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Remember that? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil said to Jesus, I'll give you these kingdoms, watch this, and the glory of them. That's the wealth of them. Now watch what he says if you fall down. In other words, if you compromise your values and your standards, he says, I'll give you money. He said, I'll give you wealth. So the world system demands compromise. It demands bowing down, lying, stealing, cheating, affairs, not reporting all your income on your tax return. It involves selling drugs, illicit sex, gambling. Any gamblers in the house? Hey, years ago, I gotta tell you this, years ago, it got back to us. Some of our members down at the they were down, had gone somewhere, and they were gambling. They had on their Faith Chapel shirts. I mean, and they looked over and saw the other person they had on their Faith Chapel. The Faith Chapel in the house. I mean, you know, a lot of Christians don't know gambling is that's not God's way. Gambling is that's the world system. The Proverbs talks all the time about getting wealth and haste will be diminished. It's all through the book of Proverbs. The Bible says that the wisdom that is from above is pure. There's no mixture, no good and no bad. Listen, for you to win gambling, somebody has to lose.
That's right.
And the system is set up in such a way where more people have to lose than win.
That's right.
Come on. Come on, hit your head like this. Come on, say, think. Okay, that's the world system. Illicit sex. We understand that's the world system. Prostitution, you can see that. Right, that's the world. You understand that, right? How do I understand prostitution is the world system? Okay, yeah, I don't have to get into that much. Okay, sleeping with your boss. Oh, I'm going to be hitting something right here because y'all kind of getting quiet. Sleeping with your boss, that's the world system, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You're getting ahead by sleeping with somebody. What if you're single and your boyfriend is paying your bills? Most of the illustrations I give you, real life stuff. Okay, trust me, it's real life stuff. Your boyfriend paying your bills. Got it? He's paying your bills. You single, he paying your bills, you need some help with your bills. And so he's gonna help you and you're gonna help him.
I'll make a plan.
Selling drugs. I asked this question Sunday. How many ex-drug dealers we got here? Well, we had a lot of hands go up. Yeah, we had a lot of hands go up in the thing. Thank God we all ex something. Ain't we? We all ex something. So one of the guys in our church, beautiful guy, man, he sold drugs for 20 some years. And now he's trying to do it God's way. He sold drugs 20 some years, and he told me this is the first real job he ever had.
Wow.
So he's learning God's system, because selling drugs, you have young people, they need to understand this. Selling drugs is deception plus compromise equals money. Catch this. It's the world system. The end justifies the mean. The end is a bunch of money, quick. A lot of money. The means is sorrow, pain to drug users, those who get addicted, those whose families are destroyed. So the end is you get money quick, but there's sorrow to other folk. It is the world system, because it appears up front pleasant and sweet, but the end is loss, jail, death, or losing everything. And he said, Pastor Mike, he told me how much money he used to have. I mean, a lot of money. He said, I lost all of it. Yeah. And that's the end of it. Jail, death, a loss. It is a deception. It is a delusion. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 8, it says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenue without right. In other words, why is it better to have a little with righteousness? It's better to have a little with righteousness because God can bless it. God can multiply it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Now, that's the world system. That's the world system. It is built off deception and compromise. That's the whole name of the game. Many Christians start off in the world, in God's system. They hear the truth and they step over in the world system, but they don't know it. I'm going to give you some scriptures. I'm not going to be able to cover it all, but I want to give you some scriptures about God's system so you can understand it. I'll give you the scriptures. Joshua 1:8. And you can write it down and look it up. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then thou shalt have good success. What kind of success?
Good success.
What kind of success?
Good success.
Now watch this. 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So now notice, when I go God's way, I can prosper and I can keep my health. Because you were not designed to work all the time. God didn't create your body to work all the time. So you can prosper and have your health too. Now, Psalms 128, verse 1 through 3, it tells us that you can prosper without compromising your family. I've been claiming that scripture for years, that my wife would be a fruitful vine, and my wife would be a fruitful vine, and my children like olive plants around about my table. I believe that you can prosper in God and not lose your family. I say you can prosper and not lose your family. Psalms 112, verse 1 through 3 talks about if we'll delight greatly in God's commandments and fear him, reverence him, then the Bible says wealth and riches will be in his house. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Wealth and riches will be in his house. I want us to turn to Proverbs 8, and I'll close right here, and then I'll give you an opportunity to ask some questions. Let's look at Proverbs 8. You get anything out of this? Okay, you get anything out of this? Oh, I got a little patty cake. Go ahead on. Must be God. Got a little patty cake right there. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 8, and we'll open it up for you. And by the way, there's a lot of different ways you can. We mentioned the app too, because they can go and get the app. Because I kind of rushed a little tonight, because I definitely want to hear your questions. Let's look at Proverbs 8, verses 10 through 12 and 18 through 21. This is God speaking. Receive my what? And not?
Silver.
And knowledge rather than?
Silver.
Next verse. For wisdom is better than ruby, and all the things that they may be desired not to be compared to it. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of what? So God will give you ideas. See, God will give you creative ideas. And when God gives you ideas, it's already blessed. Got it? Now let's drop down to verse 18 through 21 and we'll finish. God says, before I read this, let me ask you a question. Okay. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You ever heard that?
Yes.
How many believe it? Okay. Question. Why you believe it? Because, see, you sure enough wasn't there. You weren't there when Jesus died on the cross. You ain't seen him. How many of you saw Jesus on the cross? You ain't seen him on the cross. How many saw him raised from the dead? You ain't seen him raised from the dead. How many believe it? Why? Because the word says it. That's why you believe it. Okay, now watch this. I'm getting ready to read something. Tell me why you can't believe this. Riches and honor are with me. What kind of riches? Lasting. And what? In other words, I don't have to get the money and lose my relationship with God.
Right.
I can stay right with God. Next verse. My fruit is better than gold, yet than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Watch this. Next verse. I lead in the right way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Next verse. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasure. Okay, now, for the next few minutes, I got a lot of experience. I want to give you an opportunity to ask any question you'd like to ask. Any question that you like to ask. No question is a bad question. Would you shout it out for me?
Where do I fit?
You single?
No, I'm married.
Okay, so what do you mean,
this.
Where
okay.
do you fit?
You said the relationship, I know with God should be first.
Yes.
Then my husband, second.
Yes.
And my children. But where am I? Am I just, I don't want to say.
That's a good question. That's why I like Q&A.
The way I was thinking, okay, my relationship with God, that mm-hmm. is the number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I can't put myself there because I'm not him, although I have a relationship with myself because I talk to myself all the time. But I don't know where I'm at.
I give you a simple answer because I think it's a great question. I'll give you a simple answer. the law of sowing and reaping, it's there, okay? If I'm sowing time, money, energy into God, I'm going to reap from God. God is concerned about you, okay? The way he intended marriage to work, I know it doesn't work like this all the time, but my need shouldn't be the priority. My wife should be the priority. And then if it's working the way it should be, her priority wouldn't be her. Her priority is me. So in marriage, if it's working the way it should, you shouldn't get left out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I want my wife to be happy. I want her to be fulfilled. She got her own friends. She got people they do scrapbooking. She goes, they do that kind of thing. I want her to have that kind of freedom. You see what I'm saying? If I really love her, I'm concerned about her, not just me.
Right.
If selfishness is governing my relationship, then I'm just thinking about me, and then people get left out. Does that make sense? The water that goes through the pipe always wets the inside of the pipe. The water that goes through the hose pipe will always touch the inside of the pipe. While it is watering outside of itself, the water always touches the inside. The principle of sowing and reaping is that it will always come back to you in some form or not. Questions? It's a good opportunity, y'all. Don't be scared. Anybody else? You know what? If I were y'all, and I had been like this and learning, I'd be asking all men the questions. Y'all been so tired of me, y'all be saying, I wish you shut up so I can get in some questions. Anybody else? And I don't want to force you anything like that, but I want to be available to you. I really do. I want you to understand this. Yes, ma'am?
I have a question.
Yes.
You live in a world where everything is instant or quick, and I know you were talking about deception. What are some ways that we can have discernment about when an opportunity is good or bad?
When I talk about, and the reason why it takes us time to teach all this stuff, there are laws in the kingdom that protects us. A few weeks ago, almost a couple of months ago, I taught a series in our church called The Next Step of Obedience, and it had to do with obeying the Spirit of God. And then during the month of December, I taught a series called Listen Up, and it was on being led by the Spirit, okay? Recognizing opportunities has a lot to do with these laws that I'm teaching you. For example, the law of priority, order. Is this opportunity taking me away from my relationship priorities? That's one. What am I sensing on the inside of me? Is there peace on the inside of me? Is there peace on the inside of me? So I'm moving by the Spirit. It's not a formula. You're being led by the Spirit on these different opportunities. And here's what I've learned about God. This is something I learned about him, okay? When my heart is right and I want to serve him and please him, I don't have to fear failure. He'll give me room to miss it. Because walking with God is just like growing up as a kid. You learn. Kids sometimes make mistakes, but God has us in his hands. You understand that? I used to be afraid I'm going to miss it. I'm afraid I'm going to miss it. And then I missed it and he kept me. You see, if my heart is to please him and to serve him, you can even make mistakes. So don't be afraid of doing things. You're going to learn by doing some things. And some things you make some mistakes, but he'll keep you. Anybody else?
I want to ask him.
Yes.
I see this a lot in the body of Christ, people that have been taught on prosperity, and you got a young person that don't have a car, no transportation, and you bless them with a car, and it's a pretty nice car, but it ain't a new car. And they'll say, well, I don't want that car because I'm believing God for a new car. But they ain't got nothing.
Right.
And so you see, I see that people want to bless people with furniture that don't have nothing. And they giving them nice furniture, but they believe in God for new furniture. So address that.
I'm going to add to that too. Because I've seen this too. Sometimes people, they don't want to work a certain job. They got bills and all that, but they don't want to work a certain job. You know what I mean? They want this big thing. It's because people don't understand the law of growth in the kingdom. That's Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 30. It's the law of growth. It says, first the blade, then the ear, than the four corner of the ear. Sometimes people hear prosperity, and I'm gonna tell you, God wants you to live a large life. He wants you to live the best. But people don't hear everything you say. And I try to give out testimonies. If you do it God's way, you won't have any stress on you. Here's what you should always do, and I'll answer that. You should always put pressure on yourself, nobody outside of you, including Pastor Mike, nobody outside of you. The pressure you should have on yourself is to be better. I always put pressure on myself is to get better. Get better. So if I'm living in this house, next time I want a little bit better. You understand what I'm saying? We never did a lot of the other stuff. The right way to look at that, if somebody's giving you something, you don't have anything. It may not be everything you want. It may not be where you want to go, but now you got a blade. Now you know God is working in your life. And you should receive that and prosper and thank God for it, okay? And keep your faith on it. Because if God can do that, He can do something else. Does that make sense? And what happens, the law of growth gives you time to learn. When people win the lottery, did you know that it is a fact that most people do not prosper when they win the lottery? Do y'all realize that it's factual that most people it doesn't last long? You can also add that to people trying to make it to the NFL and to all that. You know, that's most people who get these big contracts end up broke. Because they get a large sum of money, but they've never learned the skills it takes to manage it. In God's kingdom, God takes you progressively so that you are embracing everything and you're also learning how to do it. For example, in the arena of church growth. I used to want the church to grow. I didn't need a big church because I was worrying about over a little church. My stomach was hurting me every day. I was worried every day. My stomach hurt me every day. I'm worried about these people. I'm worried about me. I'm worried about everything. Why would God give me a big church? Because I got more problems with a big church. So sometimes God gives us an opportunity to grow, you know what I mean? Mature-wise, intellectually, emotionally. We have to grow our management skills. So God don't just dump a lot of stuff on us like that. That's the gimmick. That's a game. That's not kingdom. Does that make sense to you? Any other questions? Yes.
Today we were talking to somebody that we know has been sitting under the word for a while.
It's not on. I don't think that it's on.
They probably think she got. I got a
lot. Huh? It's okay. Okay. Start over, sweetie.
But anyway. We were talking, and you know, you mentioned gambling.
Yeah.
That is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Bible says Satan is the deceiver of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I don't drink, I don't smoke, but I do put money in the lottery.
Gotcha.
And so we were just talking, and as my husband was saying, he is deceived. He, you know, you can have people sitting under the word, hearing the word, knowing better, but then they're doing something outside
right.
of what the word says.
Right.
So my husband would say he's deceived.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I try to be diligent in teaching people because I want to have it in a, I want to have people to understand in a progressive way. You know, when you understand in a progressive way, you don't get into gimmicks and games and a lot of, you can get in a gimmick in church. It can be a game in church. And what I've learned is that people don't always hear. Okay, so here's my strategy for it, because I've taken months to teach this, and people do stuff, and I be thinking, I never said that. Okay, so here's what I'm telling people now. I'm saying, I want to answer any questions you have. I'm going to set time where you can answer questions so we can talk through this, because maybe you didn't get it. And then I'm asking everybody, listen to it at least one time away from church. Walk through it yourself. Pull up the scriptures yourself. And I think the Spirit of God will begin to teach you. And then we don't do all this crazy stuff. Does that make sense to you? Yes.
My question, what I want to say is, I appreciate the word that you're bringing, because I had started prior to what you're teaching. And now what this does, it helps me to understand better what I was studying.
Good.
So I appreciate what you're giving me, because I needed it.
What will happen if you'll take some time and study on your own, a couple of things will happen. I think God will confirm some things you hear, but I think the Spirit of God will expand some things, because you're a unique person and there's no formula. The Spirit of God will tailor what you're learning to your unique situation, and it'll make a difference in your life. Sometimes we get little snatch at a principle here, snatch a principle here, but we don't understand the whole thing. And so we get off into something, and everybody says, I don't want to hear nothing about that. Does that make sense? Okay.
That's
yes,
fine.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
The young lady that asked you about how do you recognize.
Yeah.
You should refer her to the app.
Can you, Naomi, we're going to have you reference the app. We got a church app that's free. All you got to do is download it. It's free. And I got teachings on there that'll help you.
That's Listen Up.
And that series is called Listen Up. And it's on being led by the Spirit. Yes.
Does walking and praying in the Spirit, can it take, not precedence, but take the place of when you can't read the word or get in the word, but you're praying in the Spirit and you're talking to God with your spirit, and you're not studying the word or reading the word at that time, but when you're not reading the word and you're walking and praying in the Spirit, will the unction of the Holy Spirit?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I think prayer and the word goes together.
Okay.
I think when people pray and they're not spending time in the word, they come up with, and they hear, they get into all kinds of doctrines and stuff like that. The word is designed to balance what you're hearing in the spirit. Because the scripture said there are many voices in the world. And so you need a foundation of the word, because the spirit is never going to lead you outside of the word. Got it? Well,
I think a lot of times people want to hear God, and even myself, sometimes I don't know if I have heard God or not, and I think they're looking for like a voice.
Right.
And God doesn't speak that way. He'll speak to you like in a still small voice, or confirm something in the word.
Right.
So the young lady that asks about, you know, how do you know you're choosing the right job or whatever she said. But I think if you just pray and then expect God to show you in some way through the word, and maybe through another person.
Well, I think to be honest with you, if she listened to the series, I go through that. I talk about, is it God, is it me, or is it the devil? And I think that series will bless you. Yes, sir?
Okay, you talked about gambling, and you said that it's not good to gamble because more people lose than they win, and that you're acquiring money at somebody else's loss. So I was wondering, about that on the along the lines of sports.
Okay.
Somebody, you want the other people to prosper that you're playing against, but you want to, of course you want to win.
Right.
And so you're acquiring winning at somebody else's loss. So how do you?
That's a good question, bro. The difference is you're in a competition that you volunteered to be in. You see what I'm saying? And if it's on a professional level, that's your job. You understand what I'm saying? But it is not the mismanagement of money. Gambling is a poor stewardship. You understand what I'm saying? Playing on a football field or baseball field or whatever, it's not really a stewardship issue. It's a competition issue. You understand what I'm saying? So stewardship has to do with how we manage our money, our time, our energy, our talents, and all those things, and God intends for us to manage them well.